Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on the fourth Sunday of Lent. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and this morning we will hear and discuss our Gospel from St. John. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Mexico is the land of mysteries and miracles that many people still don't know about. A Mexico pilgrimage is set for March 31st through April 5th, and you could be a part of it. Deacon Armando Botello will be the spiritual director as you visit the Basilica de Guadalupe, the Pyramid of the Sun and the Moon near Chapultepec, the Fine Arts Palace, and so much more. For complete information on this Mexico pilgrimage, call 510-4727.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you on this last Sunday of March?
Is that what it is?
It is.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm fine. I really am not counting the days. I count the years. I'm not sure I count the days, but wow, it's amazing that we're already at the end of March.
We are, which means that we're closer to Easter.
Right, right.
So our gospel today is from St. John, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to hear his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes. And he said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is," but others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been born blind and gained his sight, until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he's of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, He is of age, question him. So a second time they came to the man who had been born blind and said to him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He replied, If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see. So they said to him, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? They ridiculed him and said, You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from. The man answered and said to them, This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything. They answered and said to him, You were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us? Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered and said, Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, You have seen him. The one speaking with you is he. And he said, I do believe. And he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, Surely we are not also blind, are we? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, We see, so your sin remains. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Bishop, this is such a classic story, and we've heard it, of course, every year, but it's so interesting in the very beginning part of this gospel that the disciples say to Jesus, Who sinned? Because of the who sinned? Which one of the parents sinned because their son was born blind?
Yes, well, of course, that was a common understanding with several things. You know, if there was a malady of the body, whether blindness or, you know, deaf and not being able to hear or any kind of physical disability, somebody sinned. I mean, that was seen as, you might say, I guess we would say a curse, you know, that
or
this
a punishment.
Person was cursed or a punishment on that person. So the logical question was, who sinned if this person is blind? So, but as Jesus said, it's not so much that no one sinned, but it's so that God's work can be seen, that we can reveal something to you and to many others.
Well, and Jesus had said, in essence, you know, there's no cause, effect, or anyone to blame. Look instead mm-hmm. for what God can do.
Right.
And that's what this whole gospel was all about.
Sure. It's the light that he wants to bring to all of us to say that God has the power over everything. And so if there is, you know, a disability, and of course, you know, modern medicine, we try to do all that we can to avoid those kind of things, but it's a part of life. I mean, life's not perfect, but that it's for God's purpose to allow, really, I would say, to be unleashed, you know, that God's love can be unleashed in different things. You know, and there's maybe some listeners who do have a relative, a child, a parent who might be blind or have some other malady. And I think that there's always different ways of approaching that. Some people would see that as something that's difficult. It would be difficult for anyone. But again, that it draws out from the people around that person a love that's very special. I have some very good friends who they still are in the parish. I'm not there anymore, but They really wanted more children. They had one son already, and they were just longing for more children. And I was over at their house one evening, and we prayed that there would be a, you know, God would send them another child. And not long after that, Michael arrived. Well, 9 months, I
remember. Right, right.
Michael arrived, but
with Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's painful for parents, but, you know, I see them today, and Michael's into it being a teenager, and what joy and rambunctious and fun to be around, and, you know, and people gather around him, and he's kind of the center of attention. For many, you know, it depends how we approach these things in life, that God's work can be done, or we can become resentful of anything. And again, I don't want to make light of anyone's situation, but I think this is the light that Jesus wants to bring us, the light of love. In any situation, there's a call to love. I also remember many, many years ago when I was a deacon and I was with the pastor that I was assigned to, learning to be some pastoral work, and his cousins had a Down syndrome child, and we went to see them, and there was just a somberness almost, you know, about this child and the whole situation. And so you have two situations where it's how we respond to that from the interior. And I think here, so, you know, you can see that this is this question, who sinned? And Jesus wants to dispel all of that. It's nobody's sinned. It's not because it's a punishment or because, but it's so God's work can take place. And, you know, you see so many beautiful people who have certain disabilities, but also people who gather around them and help them and assist them. And it really draws something out of them. And then it's a witness to the community, and it's... it's something that's marvelous to see how faith in action, love in action, really gives hope to many people. So Jesus sees, again, this blind man as an opportunity for him to not just do a miracle, but to open the eyes of others who maybe couldn't see the love of God, the power of God, but wanting to show that to them as a revelation of himself.
Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation. Please stay with us, and we will be right back. When summer arrives, we all want to be fit and trim, so here's a great way to get started. St. Michael the Archangel Parish in Banchetti will host a 5K run walk on Saturday, April 5th, rain or shine. The race will begin in front of the church, 4316 4th Street at 8 a.m. Along the course, there'll be mile markers, water stations, and volunteers to assist and guide participants, and prizes will be awarded to the top runners. The Coastal Bend Bloodmobile will be on hand as well. For registration forms and more information, please visit the church office or call 361-815-9880.
Most Precious Blood Catholic School is an extension of the church, an exemplary school for pre-K through fifth graders, which helps fulfill the mission of fostering a spiritual life in each individual child, along with academic excellence and physical fitness. Registration is now underway for the fall semester. Why not call 852-4800 and arrange a visit at the campus at 3502 Saratoga Boulevard. The dedicated staff will be delighted to show you around and answer all your questions. Again, the number 852-4800. Most Precious Blood Catholic School, educating our children to know, love, and serve God.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, before the break, you were sharing some stories of friends that you know that had children that had some disabilities and things,
needs,
but how they
sure.
special needs yeah. and how they brought such joy. Mm-hmm. But a lot of time that doesn't happen just automatically.
No,
I mean
certainly
it's a
not.
It's a sure. test of faith and sure. strength. And
That's a good point. I think this story really brings that out, too, that, you know, the blind man in the story and his parents, they didn't really just grab onto it and say, wow. They accepted it, the healing, but they didn't quite understand yet. And I think that that's why Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever accepts me, I am the light. He's the one who can reveal that to us. So, and I know in all these cases that I mentioned, it's a gradual thing, you know, that, but that's where faith is a gradual reality. Faith in the sense that we learn to trust God. We learn to trust the other. As we're younger, of course, we all know that we're invincible, and we all know that. Mm-hmm. And we've done just about everything we can to show that we are invincible, and many of us failed in that. But it's faith is that gradual turning over of ourself and the powers that we think we have to the other and to do his will. That's what Jesus spoke of last week with the woman at the well, and also here, that it's doing God's will. It's letting God be seen in all things. It's revealing God in our own life, but also through our own actions, revealing him to others. So in the second reading today, we see that St. Paul said to the Ephesians, brothers and sisters, you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. So that darkness does not go away easily in any of our lives. Faith's a journey of turning ourselves and the controls over to Almighty God. But in that becomes more light. I mean, they talk about the leap of faith, and that's on many levels, where one completely trusts in the Lord. And we're always put in the crucible. That faith is tried, which we see from the Hebrew scriptures and also the New Testament, where if you say you have faith, if you say you love God, then it's going to be tested. What we see in this case with the blind man, we start with this miracle of giving him sight, but it's not that he grabs on right away and says, oh, I believe, I believe. He says, I don't know how this happened, this man. But he does eventually say, well, if he's a sinner, how could he do this? Because God doesn't listen to sinners. So he begins to reason this out, which is part of that journey of faith. To the fact at the end of the gospel, Jesus says, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he said, who is he, sir, that I may believe? And Jesus reveals, I am he. And the man says, I do believe. So you can see this gradual
conversion.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And also we found that with the woman of Samaria, when Jesus also said, when she said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who's called the Christ, and he says, I am he. So he's revealing himself to us as the one who can quench the inner thirst of our life, what's lacking, but also the one who can be our sight. So when there is a dark moment in life, we're talking here about a physical malady, but it's spiritual and moral. In fact, the Pope at the beginning of Lent spoke of that, you know, that it's not just physical pain that people are going through today, but there's also a moral pain, and there's also a spiritual pain, a spiritual darkness, a moral darkness, as well as the physical darkness here in the gospel. And so these are things that Jesus wants to be the light in all of those things. If we have a moral, immoral attachment in our life, then he can enlighten us to move away from that. Or if it's a spiritual darkness that we are from, invite him into that area of darkness. These are the poverties. The Pope called them poverties. Our poverty, our material poverty, our spiritual poverty, and our moral poverty. This is what Jesus wants to bring light to. But as with the blind man here in the gospel, it's this encounter with him, welcoming him into our darkness. He can give us the light that we need to overcome for the conversion of our hearts.
I was reading in the Lent Magnificat, I thought it was expressed beautifully. It said, "The man was born blind so that the works of God might be made visible through him. So light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. The light who is Christ produces a goodness in us by which we come to resemble Christ himself. We beg for the ability to look into the heart of each person we meet and to see reality the way God does."
Right.
That's a lot, and it's hard.
It is, but that's love.
I mean,
that is the that very sentence there, that paragraph that you read, is really the very nature of love, moving beyond ourselves, beyond our categories, and being able to see as God sees. I think this was the trouble with those that were challenging all of this in the gospel today. You know, this was done on the Sabbath. We don't do these things on the Sabbath. So we all have these, to a point, we have a notion of following the rules.
Right.
In any kind of society, whether it's religious society, civil society, we have to have certain norms, certain objective rules that say this is, you know, the ordering of your life. St. Paul says to live your life as children of the light. Well, that means that there are certain things that we should do, we should follow, but they're not absolute. So what the blindness here for these Pharisees was that the Sabbath, which is our Sunday as well, right, is very sacred to us, is very holy, but the person, the human person, the needs of the human person go beyond that. Charity goes beyond that. That's not at all to push aside the need for worship, the need for being there and worshiping our God. But at the same time, sometimes whether it's that or other rules that we can easily attach ourselves to, which are good things. And again, right, I want to point out very good
right
things. But we miss the person. We miss the will of God. We miss the point that God is trying to enter into our life because we're on a schedule, because this is the pattern of life that I'm in, and I can't get beyond that. I would say to all of us that we kind of open ourselves to watch, to be observers of God's action in our life. And I give you a brief example, which I've spoken of this past week when I was at one of the parishes, that last week was a particularly rough week. I think we all have those. And you think, how much more, you know, can you, you start talking to God in those terms, how much more, how much more? And I left the house one day. I don't know if you remember, it was a day that was very, very windy. The gale almost, I thought it was gale forces had come in. And as I was leaving the yard and going out the gate and stepping onto the sidewalk and kind of had my head, you know, down, and the pity parties, you know, mm-hmm, they say all these things. You're trying to figure it all out. And
Woe is me.
And, you know, it wasn't that bad. But, it was kind of mm-hmm like that. And all of a sudden I heard, poosh! Well, the sprinklers came on right next to my foot. And the wind is blowing. And I was doused, not directly, but this wind brought this mist of water all over me. And I, you know, you just say, God, I can't take any more of this.
You got anointed.
Well, I sat in the car and I started laughing and I said, okay, is this a new baptism? Is this the time that I'm supposed to say, you're in control? But I think that's what we have to look at. That's the way we approach life, as a light. That happened by chance, mm-hmm, but not really
mm-hmm
by chance.
Right.
The Lord had it all planned. You know, they come on at a certain time, and mm-hmm I just happened to take the first step, and it was there. But this is the light that Christ wants to give us. Work with me. Come to me in your pain, in your difficulty, in your blindness, when you're looking at yourself, when your woe is me. Come to me, come to me, come to me, and I'll lighten the load, even through laughter,
right,
and say it's okay.
Right.
You know, and you get to work, and it's not as bad as you think it is, mm-hmm, you know, sometimes. And by the way, this is my fourth anniversary I've celebrated this week. So I just want to tell everyone that's listening, I love being here. This is not a bad thing. Don't think I'm regretting being here. It's wonderful. It's just all of us have our moments.
That's right.
But,
We're glad that you're here.
But I think, and then the real joy for me, Barbara, I think, is the next night I was in conversation with another bishop. We call periodically to each other and, you know, how are you doing? And he actually lives the Word of Life with me. And, of course, this month is that you love one another. And,
right.
So I said, well, you asked, let me tell you. I told him this whole story. Well, he started laughing. I started laughing. And it's like the light returns, you know. These things pass.
Right.
You know, sprinklers pass. The problems of life pass. And what's important? The important thing is Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Mm-hmm. Follow him. And so I would invite all of us during Lent as we continue to move toward the celebration of Easter, the death, resurrection, the Paschal mystery, and we renew our baptismal promises. Let us follow him without reserve, ask him to grow our faith, and help us to see him as our true light.
Thank you, Bishop. Now, if you could end our session, please, with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. O God, who through your word reconciled the human race to yourself in a wonderful way, grant, we pray, that with prompt devotion and eager faith, the Christian people may hasten toward the solemn celebrations to come. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.